Greet you all in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here and to share together in God's Word and to discuss it, particularly in the Sunday school lesson. I would like to address two things this morning. The Bible talks clearly about both, and the way I see it, we choose which one we have in our life. I've entitled the message, Pride or Humility, It's Your Choice. Recently, in a discussion with a brother, he asked me to be totally honest with him in a question he asked me. As I answered him, I realized that to answer him honestly, I would have to check my motives concerning the situation at hand. Had I secretly wished things had been different? Or had I been truly okay with the arrangement? That was what I had to face. But at that moment, I could not change how I had felt about it. I could only respond as to how I had felt. I realized in that situation that pride is subtle. It affects our attitudes and our motives. And if you're like me, I find myself often trying to make it appear that I am humble, but hiding the pride in my heart. But then, as I alluded to it, often when we look back, we then see clearly or have a clearer picture of the attitude that we had. So I have a burden on my heart to be willing to address pride in my heart and deal with it as God sees it and to not brush it off as something that everyone struggles with. I think that's a tendency that I find in myself. Well, you know, everyone struggles with it, and never really taking the time to address it and say, okay, God, how do you see this? And then respond as God would have me respond, rather than just kind of shrug it off and say, well, everyone struggles with pride. So I'm, you know, it's no exception with me. So I've divided this morning's message in two parts. Pride, first of all, I'd like to look at it, some questions that I have about it. And secondly, I'd like to look then at humility. Turn with me to James 4. I think if we'd all be honest, we like being around people who are humble. But then when it comes to ourselves, humbling ourselves, then, like I said, we appreciate when others do it, but we're not quite as willing to do it ourselves. James 4, beginning in verse 6 through verse 10. But he giveth more grace, speaking of God. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We find the same phrase in 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 5 to verse 7. Talks about submitting in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we find this phrase, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, two places in James and in Peter. I think it's important to remember, as we look at at these two, pride and humility, God resists the proud, but he has a remedy for those who want to be humble. Now let's look at what is pride. I'm borrowing some from John Regeer in his book about resolving personal and marital problems. Several definitions. One is an exalted view of oneself. Secondly, a focus on oneself that is expressed in thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions. And in James and in 1 Peter, the word proud in the Greek would mean appearing above others or haughty. So an exalted view of oneself, feeling good about yourself, would be another way we might say it today. Do we ever read in the scriptures that pride is sin? The closest that I came up with, and maybe you'll find something more, would be where in Romans 1, Paul lists those being proud as those who, knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death. But as far as it coming out and say that it is sin, I don't find it. But I don't think that hinders us from saying that pride is sin. Because if we look at what cost Lucifer his place in heaven, we have to agree that it was pride. If we would turn to that, it's very much, I will do this, I will do that, and I want to be as God. And the way I understand pride, that is very much the heart of it. Also, in the English language, what is the middle letter of the word pride? It is I. I find that to be interesting. It's me. It's all about me. And I find it interesting how even some of the clothing anymore that you find in stores, how much that message is even on those. I think we were in a store the other evening. On a piece of clothing, it said, "I love me." And someone was going to buy that probably and wear it. And I kind of have to chuckle because, as the Bible says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. And the Bible has told us that for years. But it seems like it's becoming more and more prevalent that we even aren't afraid to say that I'm proud of myself and I'm my own hero. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, I will read these. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Pride, I believe, falls right into this, where this imagination, everything that exalteth, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Another reason why I think we classify it as sin. because it raises ourselves against the knowledge of God. And in Romans 1:28 through 32, I alluded to this earlier. I just want to read that, where it brings out the word that those who are proud. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You might say, well, why are you stressing that pride is sin? The reason I'm stressing it is because I think I need to grasp that it is not just something that we struggle with, but that when we see it and God shows it to us, that there is a response that needs to happen rather than just saying, well, you know, everybody deals with it, but I'm okay. So pardon me if I'm stressing it too much. David Yoder last week so ably taught us about surrender. And as I look at the call of Christ on our lives, it is one of surrender and submission. And pride militates against that. Now I'd like to look at some things that God has to say about pride, taken from a scattering of verses throughout the Bible. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Psalm 18:27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. So I think it's very clear. God hates pride. It is a sin because it exalts us up against the knowledge of God. And we are called to, in Corinthians, to cast down those imaginations and every high thing, to bring those all into captive, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I'd like to look at how does pride manifest itself. This section, I attribute a lot of it to John Regeer. How does it manifest itself? First of all, in self-centered wisdom, or look at what I know, egotistical strength, look at what I can do, and in the accumulation of possessions, look at what I have. John says, and I agree, that there are two types of pride. The first one is obvious pride, which focuses on oneself, one's possessions, or one's achievements. But the other is hidden pride, and this one may not be quite as easy to see, which focuses on one's inner pain and feelings of rejection that develop into self-pity, resulting in an inability to see anything except one's own needs and feelings. So the obvious pride is a thing that I think most of us think of right away when we think of proud, someone who's proud. Someone who toots their own horn, or they talk about themselves and what they did. You know, we know that kind of pride. But there may be, and I believe it's the same focus, a hidden pride where it is what I would refer to as a self-pity, where I can only see my own hurts and my own needs and my own feelings, and it prevents me from being able to reach out to others because I'm focusing on myself. It may not be exhibiting itself in ways that the obvious pride is, but it is still, the focus is all here on me. Unresolved pride leads to negative consequences. It causes difficulties in relationships with others. We see that in Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Pride causes a lot of trouble in relationships. When relationships are a blessing is when there's giving. But when we're proud, we're looking out for our own interests. We're not looking out for the interests of the others. Can you see why that creates strife? Secondly, pride prevents us from focusing our thoughts and our desires on God. Psalm 10:4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts." Pretty easy to rationalize. When we focus on ourselves, God calls us to love him with all of our heart. If we're at the center of our lives, we're not seeking God. It distances us. It prevents us from focusing on him. It also distances us from God. Psalm 138, verse 6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." It doesn't mean that God isn't everywhere. But I think you understand that there's distance between us and God when we have a proud heart. Also, God disciplines the proud. We saw that in the Peter and James references where it says God resists the proud. I think the way I would read that is God brings things into our lives to help us see our pride. But he also disciplines the proud. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And Matthew 23:12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." God has ways of helping us see our own pride, and he brings those things for us to help us see ourselves and to help us choose the path of humility. Now I'd like to look at what humility is. What is humility? And I'm going to borrow from Webster's here. Thought there were just a number of good definitions. "The state or quality of being humble." Well, that's simple. "Freedom from pride and arrogance. Lowliness of mind. A modest estimate of one's worth. A sense of one's own unworthiness through imperfection and sinfulness. Self-abasement, humbleness." A second definition was an act of submission or courtesy. I found that helpful as well. But the one I thought captured probably for us as Christians, the one that we need, a sense of one's own unworthiness through imperfection and sinfulness. Just recently here we heard about the idea that what have we received that wasn't given to us? And you know, humility is that admission that everything that we have, even the breath that we take and our beating heart, is a gift from God. That should cause us to humble ourselves, recognizing that that everything we have, even the gift of life itself, was given to us. Now some questions about humility. Is humility something we receive or something we do. I'd like for you to think about that. And I think in some ways, the answer is that we do receive, but we also do. So it's maybe one of those questions that really doesn't have a clear answer. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." We read in James that we're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. One of the reasons I asked that question is because of a wrong concept that I used to have about humility. Because I used to actually pray, "God, humble me." Or make me humble. And then I read this verse, and I realized, well, is it something that God actually gives to me and I receive, or is it a choice that I make? I don't believe God does it for us, but he gives us the grace to do it. As I said earlier, God will bring things into our lives that should humble us, but it still is up to us whether it does, whether we humble ourselves or not. So I think God does bestow grace so that we humble ourselves. But it is not a gift such as salvation, because it's something we need to choose. God resists the proud. I believe he will bring things into your life, into my life, that will help us to understand that we have pride in this area of our life. But then it's our choice whether we choose to humble ourselves. We can feel humiliated at something that happens, but humiliation and humbling are not the same. Humiliation is merely it's a smack on our pride. Humbling is saying, "I choose to be okay with what happened." And I think sometimes that God does bring things into our lives that humiliate us, and hopefully they drive us to humbling ourselves. Both Peter and James said that God gives grace to the humble. So why do those who are humble need grace? Well, here's my answer. Anyone can be proud and do a good job of it. But humility takes divine strength. You know, because of our flesh, our selfish nature, pride comes easily. We can perfect that art pretty well, if you want to call pride an art. We can perfect it in our lives pretty well. It doesn't take God's strength to do that. But to humble ourselves takes divine strength. And I believe that's why we need God's grace. I believe it's the difference of living in the flesh or in the spirit. And it is ultimately the difference between life and death. Choosing the path of humility can be incredibly difficult because we need to lay down our will and our way and take up God's way. It comes back to what David was talking about so much last week, surrender. We cannot surrender unless we humble ourselves. Unless we choose to lay down our will and take up God's will. Now I'd like to look at how does humility change us. I believe it is the only way that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. If we choose to humble ourselves, then we can become conformed into the image of Christ. Christ chose to come down, to humble himself, to take up the Father's will, and to do that, he conformed himself to the will of his Father. It's the same way for us. We need to choose to take up the will of God and lay down our own. I would liken humility to clay that is moldable and pliable, and whereas pride is brittle and breakable. It comes back to the idea that God resists the proud. God will bring things into our lives if we are proud to break us. Because his goal is for us to be conformed into the image of Christ. But if we're resisting that, God will bring things to help us. But you know, when we're proud and we resist that, God will bring sometimes very severe things into our lives to help us understand that we need to choose the path of humility. And I think the whole idea of the clay, I think, just is an excellent example. Because when you take clay and it's soft and moldable, you can make whatever you want into it. And when we give ourselves, in essence, to God and say, God, you shape me, you mold me into what you want me to become, that is the path of humility. But if we take our own way, then God just might choose to break you. In relationships, humility makes us pleasant to be around. Another way to look at this, at the thing of pride and humility, is that pride is independence and humility is dependence. I don't think I can stress enough. We need God. And when we are humble ourselves, we recognize that we need him and we depend on him. The proud person says, I can do it on my own. That's independence. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Humility changes us when we choose to humble ourselves under God. God can change us then. I believe it is possible to have strongly held convictions with humility. You know, I think the tendency for us, at least I see it in myself, is when I have something that I believe to be true, I hold to it strongly, but my pride also gets in the way. And even likes to interject the thoughts that you're more right on this than so-and-so. But I believe it is possible that we don't have to be, in a sense, soft on our convictions when we are humble. I think they can go hand in hand. Because I have seen well-meaning people who felt their interpretation of Scripture was right, but missed the Spirit of Christ in how they related to people. And I think that comes back to what I, the struggle that I think there is when we feel like we need to stand strong in an area of Scripture, but we need to be careful that we do it with humility, lest we hold up this part of the Scripture and we miss the whole mind of Christ and the Spirit of Christ and how He relates to people. I think it's possible that those two could be at odds. And you know, the choice of these two, pride and humility, affects every area of our lives. It affects our relationships at church. It affects our relationships at work, at home, and also even the disappointments in life. How do we deal with God's sovereignty when things seem to just crumble around us, our world just falls apart? Could it be that there is pride in our life, that we're trying to take control rather than being willing to humble ourselves and say, God, I accept your sovereignty in this? I believe it's also even affects finding God's will in my life. We can do very good things, but from the aspect of, and still have pride in our heart. The challenge I would like to leave with you is this. It's easy to see pride in others, but what about yourself? What do you do when you see pride in your life? Do you make excuses, like everybody struggles with it? Or do you recognize the damage it does to your heart? And I know for myself, often I don't take the time to evaluate my attitudes and motivations. But it's often in looking back, as I've referred to in the beginning, it's often in looking back that we see who or what was in control. My encouragement to you is this: acknowledge it as sin, repent and confess it to the Lord, and choose to replace pride with humility. I'd like to borrow from John Regeer. Just ask you to listen and consider, are there areas of pride in your life that you maybe haven't seen? And I would just like to encourage you to, as I said, confess it as sin, repent, and then choose to replace it with humility. So just some things for you to think about. Some questions I'll ask you. Do I desire to be recognized and appreciated? Do I have hurt feelings when others are promoted but I am overlooked? Do I focus on myself rather than on others? Do I blame others for my failures? Do I become defensive when I'm criticized? Do I have a concern about what others think of me? Do I have difficulty in admitting when I have failed another person? Do I view others as lower than myself? Do I desire for others to meet my needs? Do I have a desire for self-advancement? Do I desire to be successful apart from God's blessing or direction? Do I have a refusal to give up personal rights? Do I desire to control others? And do I talk most often about myself when I'm talking with others? Do I draw attention to my abilities and my achievements? Do I feel sorry for myself because I'm not appreciated? Do I focus on my knowledge and experience? And do I display a self-sufficient attitude, excluding God or others? As I looked at that, I just realized that I want to continue to replace the pride in my heart with humility, choose to humble myself before God and allow Him to bring the change that I want to see in my life. I'd like to close with Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? I'd like to choose the path of humility today. I trust you will too. Recognize and acknowledge the pride and confess it as sin. And choose in those times when God reveals that to walk humbly with Him, not out of pride in our life. Let's kneel for prayer. Oh God, we're totally dependent on You. And yet, our old self rises up in the form of pride and says, we can do it. We're better than others. Lord, forgive us. Help us to acknowledge those times when we respond out of pride. When we have pride in our heart and our motivations and our actions and our attitudes display that we are in control, that we are the most important. When, Lord, we've been given everything by You. And we want to replace that pride with humility and choose to humbly respond in every situation out of the humility that You grant us, the grace that You grant us to humble ourselves. So, Lord, we need You, we look to You, and I pray that we would not allow Satan the ground that he would like in our lives through pride in our heart. Help us to humble ourselves. And we pray that through the grace that You give us, we could do that. So it's in that power that we go, and in that power that we can live above pride. Pray this through Christ. Amen.
Let Thy grace, Lord, make me holy, humble.
302?
Let's